So why have I done something that for the last decade or more I swore I would never, ever do again? Hey everyone, in today's episode, I want to talk about what's shifted in my understanding that's led me to make a decision to do something that I swore to myself, and I used to tell everyone that I would never, ever do this again. What are we talking about? Well, in 2006, I bought a brand new car. The moment I drove it off the lot, it went down in value. Not only did I buy a brand new car, I bought it on finance using a novated lease. Now, I swore after I did that I would never do it again. And why? Well, firstly, if you read most finance books, and anyone, myself included, who talks about the idea of good debt versus bad debt, buying a car on finance is the definition of bad debt in most cases, right? Bad debt is effectively, you know, you're borrowing money to buy something that takes money out of your pocket. It's not putting money into your pocket. Now, if you were borrowing money to buy a car that maybe you were using as an Uber driver or using as a way to turn that into more income than when you're spending on the debt, then that's a different story, and that we could call that good debt. But in most cases, and definitely me in 2006, buying this car was bad debt. The second thing is I couldn't really afford to buy this car. Like, why did I get finance? Because I didn't have the cash. I couldn't afford to buy this car. And it wasn't even a super expensive car. It was $26,000 from memory. It was a brand new Honda Civic. So not a super fancy, flashy car. I've never been a big car guy. Like, the car gets me from A to B. Now, I bought that car brand new in 2006. What I will say, though, is I felt a lot of pride and confidence. So there was an element of buying the brand new car made me feel more successful than financially I really was. It was a feeling, a flex for me, even though it wasn't one of those, you know, like it wasn't a Ferrari or whatever, which some people buy those cars as flexes. To buy this new car, to be in a car that was brand new, it really made me feel good, made me feel wealthy. And there's value in that. There's value in that from a self-fulfillment point of view, I guess. But I swore I would never do it again. Swore it. And then in December 2022, I bought a brand new car on finance. So what changed? Well, firstly, I had the cash to buy this brand new car in December. I had the money. I didn't really want to buy a new car. But here's the thing. That brand new car I bought in 2006, that was the car I still had at the beginning of December 2022. Now, I don't know what that math is. Let me quickly pull up a calculator and see if I can figure that out. So 2022 minus 2006, that was 16 years. I had that brand new car for 16 years. So once I paid off that debt, I was like, I'm going to get my money's worth. So firstly, that was one thing. Like, it wasn't like I'd been jumping cars. Like, I'd really got my money's worth on that first car. And my intention with this new car is to do something similar. For me, a car is functional. I also have a child, and my old Honda Civic was, you know, we were making it work. And ultimately, though, it was a low car, very low car. And when you're bending over to put a baby into the baby seat, it's not necessarily the best on your back, and definitely wasn't the best on my partner's back. So there was an element of I knew a new car was coming. But ultimately, what had happened is the car was probably only worth $2,000 or $3,000. I'd already just put a new clutch in for $2,000. And then my aircon broke and they told me that I'd probably need to spend another $2,000-$3,000 on that. And I'm just like, well, this is not worth it. The car's not worth it. So I had the money to buy a brand new car. But I'm sitting there going like, well, I had earmarked that money. That wasn't money sitting there saving to buy a car. It was sitting there to be used in other ways. In particular, it was to go towards a property deposit. And so I'm like, okay, I need a new car. I have to get one. It's time. And there's so many various reasons. Now, it didn't have to be a new car, but if anyone's been trying to buy a car in the last couple of years, you will have realized that we've gone through this crazy thing post-COVID or even during COVID where used car values versus new car values are very slim difference. It's crazy. And so I was looking up used cars just to see what was available. And the price difference between this brand new car that had all, you know, had a lot of the driverless car technology, not quite Tesla level, but up there with a lot of those functions, and available so that I know that I'm going to get the best run out of it, maybe another 10 years out of the car if I'm lucky. It just didn't make sense to buy a secondhand car when I looked at that. And so I went, okay. So I picked a Haval H6. Haval's made in China. As I said, I'm not a supercar guy. Like, it's just functional. I got the features I wanted at a really good price. But why did I choose to do it on finance? So I know that the value's gone down since I bought it. I know that. Although, as I said, we're in an interesting market at the moment where used cars are actually not that much lower value than new cars. I think it's going to start to shift back down. But so there was a knowledge of me buying this is not actually going to have a huge drop immediately like it did back in 2006. The second thing is opportunity cost. When you've got the cash to be able to buy the car in cash, this is different for when you're borrowing because you can't afford it. When you have the money, if you choose to do finance, what you're telling yourself is I'm going to lose that money for something better. So I called my mortgage broker. I said, hey, I have this money that I've earmarked. However, if I borrow to buy a car, that's going to impact my borrowing capacity for future properties. I know that. Can you tell me, here's roughly the value of the car. Can you tell me if I borrowed that, how much it would impact my borrowing capacity? And he said, I'd impact about $250,000. So I wouldn't be able to borrow $250,000. So it would lower my borrowing capacity by about $250,000. And I was like, okay, all right. I said, can I borrow money for a car? Can I get car finance that I can repay early without any penalties so that if I ever need to access that borrowing capacity, which I don't need to right now because I've got other borrowing capacity, but if I needed to borrow it, that I could pay that back early to be able to access that borrowing capacity? He said, absolutely, you can do that. And so that's exactly what I did. Because the interest I'm paying on the car loan is a lot, well, I wouldn't say it's a lot lower. The interest I'm paying on the car loan, and so those repayments that I'm paying from a cash flow perspective, is allowing me to keep that cash in offset accounts or to deploy it to other assets. Whereas if I'd used that cash to buy the car, let's say I'd used the cash to buy the car, then that basically means I've got to earn a whole bunch more money to be able to do what I plan to do with it, with the property deposit, right? But by keeping that cash, I've got this buffer, this liquidity buffer for both emergencies, but also for what I plan to use it for, which will return far higher in interest than I'm currently paying on the car payment. So you've got to understand opportunity cost. There is bad debt. Absolutely. Having a car is still classified bad debt. But in my situation, and potentially in your situation, you're going to come across these scenarios where paying for something in cash is not a smart move. Like, I remember years ago, a mentor kind of rammed into me the idea that if I'm going to buy a house to live in, I'm going to pay it all with cash. Like, I need to save for it and pay it with cash because a house you live in is bad debt by his definition. And I do agree. Again, if we take the definition of it, something that takes money out of your pocket, it is. But when you then consider the opportunity cost, if you go and buy here in Australia, if I go and buy like $1 million or more property to live in, all of that cash, I've just lost access to $10 million worth of other assets that I could have used that as deposits and to buy other property. Again, this assumes you've got serviceability to get the borrowing capacity. So to summarize, why did I do what I swore I would never do again? The biggest thing is I got better educated. I understand finance and the game of investing in a far better way than I ever did back in 2006. And even for the decade after 2006, where I thought I was being financially savvy. And it was where I was up to, and it was a really great mindset that got me out of debt, got me to build those foundations that I was able to build on to create my financial freedom. But now I'm at a stage where my understanding of debt and how you can leverage debt and opportunity cost has completely shifted my view of how to use money, when to use money, when to use debt, even so-called bad debt, to ensure that you're using the cash that you're not using to buy something to grow. That is the biggest thing. Is if you are borrowing money that you have, and then you just go and spend that on like a holiday, that is not necessarily being financially savvy. But if you keep that money like I'm doing and you deploy it somewhere that's going to continue to build wealth over time, then that is a smarter move to leverage debt potentially to just cash flow cost something so you can hold on to that cash. So that's in a nutshell why I did what I swore I would never do. So always remember, opportunity cost is a real cost. You've got to consider it. Not all bad debt is bad, if that makes sense. It's still bad debt by definition, But if you've really got to consider your unique situation and whether or not making this move is bad to your overall portfolio. Hope that's been helpful. If you are currently in a position where you're thinking about, oh, should I borrow? Should I do this? Really take a moment and think about it. If you know someone else who's in that situation, or maybe they, like me, are in the mindset of like, I will never buy, I'll only ever pay cash for a car, and I'll never borrow again for a car, or, you know, I want to buy my house with cash, then share this episode with them. Maybe just listening to this might help shift their thinking, or at least send them down a path where they go and get a bit more educated to make up their own mind. I'm not saying that I am the guru on this. I'm just sharing why I made a shift and why I think it's worth you considering that in your own situations too. As always, if you like this episode, please leave a review on your favorite podcasting platform. I would love to ensure others know what you got out of this podcast. And until the next episode, keep up the journey.
This episode was brought to you by Automation Agency. If you're sick of Fiverr and Upwork and want a reliable team of experts who can turn your marketing ideas into marketing duns, then head over to automationagency.com and check out what they can do. Whether it's graphic design tasks for social media, your presentations, or tech tasks like building funnels and email automations, or content creation tasks like copywriting and video editing, Automation Agency is the one team you need to help you market your business and free up your time to focus on more important things. So go and check out automationagency.com.